not a secret anymore. ThinkSecret.com is gone.
Surprise up at the GarageBand.
And we've got a cool Mac Picks with Sam Levin.
Ho, 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 it's My Mac Podcast 159.
The next generation of radio, it's the MyMac.com Podcast.
Were you calling me a hoe?
You know.
And I am Tim Robertson, the publisher of MyMac.com, and this is our 159th weekly podcast. I'm joined by Chad Perry in the studio.
Hello.
And via Skype, we've got Guy Searle.
Yeah, hi, everybody.
And we've got Rich Lefko. Hi, Rich.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Well, we're doing better than you because we understand you're buried in the white stuff, snow.
I'll tell you, people up here are wishing for a white Christmas. Stop it.
Stop wishing for it.
Buried in politicians.
We've got 20 inches of snow on the ground right now.
Well, that sounds better than earlier when Chad says, I understand you got another 4 inches today. And I, a little more information than we need there, Chad.
Got to watch how we say that.
Yeah, definitely. So we are less than a week away from the Christmas holiday here. And I'm kind of looking forward to getting it over and done with, to be honest, because it's just been a crazy, month for me, to say the least.
Sure. You think?
Plus, I have that, and I also have a new video project in the works, and that's going to take a whole lot of my time, but that's going to be some big bucks, so I'm not complaining about that. But nonetheless, the holidays is just, at least here in the United States, I know a lot of our listeners don't celebrate the Christmas season, and that's cool, but I do, and I know Guy and Rich does too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. It gets a little nutty, and it seems a little crazy to me that every year we all go into Hawk just to afford presents for everybody. It just it's way too commercialized for my tastes. But then I get home with the family, and all four kids are there, and the Christmas tree is lit, and that's when I like it. That's what it's all about.
It's all the preparation before that's such a pain in the neck.
Right. It is, and it's all the running around on Christmas Day.
Yeah, they need to come out with an instant Christmas, just add water.
That would be all right, like a little pop-up tent.
Yeah, poof. Yeah, and then there's a tree, and it's all lit up, and you just move on from there.
But the true holiday season for Mac users is less than a month away at this point, the Macworld Expo in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Rich, you're not going to be there, are you?
Unfortunately, no.
Boy, we'd love to have you there. If you ever get a chance to come out, let me know, and we'll hook you up, brother.
It's one of the top five things I want to do in my life is make a Mac World in San Francisco.
Well, now, did you ever go to any of the ones in New York?
Yes, I went to, let's see. I actually, as far back as when they were in Boston before they moved to New York.
Yeah, I was going to say, with that accent, I'm pretty sure you hit the Boston one.
So, no, actually, I'm not from Boston. I'm from New York. So
really?
Yeah, so
you have a very
New York accent.
It's
not Boston.
It sounds a little more Boston to me there.
I try and hide it. You got to hide it up here.
Damn lafers.
You've been to the expos in New York. What'd you think then in Boston?
They were good. I had a good time at all of them. I enjoyed every one that I went to, and I was really disappointed when they stopped an East Coast show because it's really tough for some of us to make the trek. Especially in January, all the way out to the West Coast.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Who the hell wants to go to warm, sunny California in January?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, it was just nice, especially when it was in New York. It was just nice to have one that wasn't that far away. And, the Apple usually drugs something out, something new out for the East Coasters to ooh and ah about.
Absolutely. It may have not been exactly like the West Coast one, but it was a show that was close enough for us to get to.
Now, at the last Macworld Expo, we all knew that Apple was coming out with something big. I think that was pretty much understood. If you go back and listen to podcasts and look at all the rumor sites from a year ago, we knew something was going to happen at the Macworld Expo. I don't get that sense this year that something huge like the iPhone is in the works. I really don't. I don't see a big gap in Apple's product line begging to be filled by something. I know a lot of people are talking about a Mac tablet.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's coming or not, and even if it does, that doesn't excite me in the least.
I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. I don't think that that's a market that Apple needs to fill at this point, because frankly, tablets still aren't that popular.
But if anybody could make them popular, don't you think it would be Apple?
Well, perhaps.
Because you're, when you think of tablet, you're thinking of what you get on the PC side. Could you imagine a tablet from Apple that's smaller than that and uses iPhone technology that, if you develop for the iPhone, and we all know that Apple is going to open up development give out a development kit for people to develop for the iPod or for the iPhone, if it uses the same technology as the iPhone, so when you write something for the iPhone, boom, it automatically works on this too.
Sure.
Would that excite you, Guy? Do you see something? Do you see a need for a product like that? I personally don't, but
no, I don't either. I really don't have any need for it. Back when I was traveling quite a bit more, I might have been more interested in a product like that. But I'm pretty much homebound these days, and you know, I have my laptop. I've got my my 24-inch Intel iMac, and yeah, and you know, I'm good to go.
Rich. Sub notebook. What do you think?
I was actually waiting for Apple to announce something like this because, unlike Guy, I was doing more traveling. Though lately I haven't, but I was doing more traveling, and I was thinking something like that would really be a nice thing to have, just for a smaller form factor.
All right, you mean a sub notebook or a tablet?
I'm thinking sub notebook, tablet.
Yeah,
tablet. I'm not. I'm not a big fan.
Hey, so where do you see a sub-notebook? Do you see a big market for them? Because if anybody's going to cannibalize Apple's MacBook sales, it might as well be Apple.
Right.
Yeah.
But do you see a big need for you're going to see it on the fanboy websites like MyMac.com and MacWorld.
Yeah, MyMac.com. You know,
we're going to say, we are. I mean, you know, we don't sit here and talk about virtuous Windows PCs very often or the Sansa MP3 player. So we are an Apple fanboy site. I don't pretend – that doesn't mean we're not critical. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that – when crap is crap, we don't call it so. And when Apple makes a mistake, we'll be the first one to jump out and say, hey.
Right, typical fanboys wouldn't. Typical fanboys would make excuses for whatever kind of...
Yeah, and speaking of mistakes, don't you think Apple should be busy, like, patching up Leopard a little bit? Because I know there's been a lot of reported issues with it.
Well, you know, I'm running the current build right now, and I'm not really having very many problems. Anybody...
The only problem that I've had with Leopard is on occasion on the G4 iBook I have, the cursor will freeze. But that's been the only issue I've had since 5.1 came out.
Is that any one application or is it just system-wide?
No, it's system-wide. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. It'll just stop moving. And usually I have to wait about, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5 seconds and it starts moving around again.
Hmm.
It's some other place than where it was when I started. It's like,
Rich?
Every time I'm ready to install Leopard, something else, it breaks something else, so I stop. So I haven't installed it yet. It's still sitting here in the box. And every time I'm going to install it, I read about, it did this or it did that. So now I'm waiting for a 10.5.2. Maybe that'll fix enough things that I'll take the jump in. Besides, I wanted to put it on my MacBook, and I was using that for some presentations I was doing, and I didn't want to mess with it.
Yeah, I don't blame you there.
On a machine that has mission critical software on it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. Although I am all Leopard at home, except for the Mac Mini that we use to scan photos in and print photo quality photos from. That's all that machine does. Yeah. And I don't think I really need to put Leopard on it.
You'll upgrade from Jaguar one of these days.
Well, no, it's running the last version of Tiger. Don't get me wrong.
I'm kidding.
but I just don't see a need to. I mean, that's a very limited machine. I don't need Time Machine on it. I don't need to access it from another computer. It's got its own function, and it does it very well. So I just don't see the need to update it. So it's fine where it's at. But I can tell you, Leopard on the 2.8 gigahertz G4, it works great. Mm. It's very fast. And on my MacBook Pro, again, it just works great. I can say that I've started using a new program, a new suite, I should say.
Sweet.
I can't say too much about it yet because I haven't used it too much. And I am under NDA until the product is officially released at the Macworld Expo.
So are you beta testing?
No, it's the full, it's the released version. Yeah. It's a Golden Master, and it's a, from a little company in Redmond called Microsoft.
They've helped us out before.
Yeah. So, yes, I'm using Office 2008. So far, so good. Like I said, I haven't used it a whole lot.
Now, that's not using the ribbon, is it?
No, it's not.
You haven't violated your NDA.
I haven't. Okay. Well, nothing that you're not going to see online. I'm not going to tell you because I really haven't got that deep into it because, you know, the whole baby thing at home.
Right.
But I can say that when, like I was in PowerPoint, and at the very top, it shows you these different galleries that you can use, mm-hmm. and it was very intuitive. I really liked the layout a lot better than 2004, which I would hope. It's
right.
4 years in development. It better be better than Office 2004.
Well, without,
so far, so good.
Without getting into great detail, how does it compare with Keynote?
Well, I haven't used it for... Number one, I'm not a big Keynote user. I really don't have that much of a need for
presentation software. Right.
The last thing we did was the Apple quiz, and that was pretty simple. And I will probably use one or the other for our contests at the Macworld Expo and the ProSoft Engineering booth when we do the Apple giveaway, the Apple quiz there. Yeah. So far it seems very fast. Let me just say that. On my iMac, I'm not using it on the MacBook Pro, just on the iMac at the moment. It seemed very, very fast. And I will say that the very simple presentations that I did create, just playing around with it, they didn't feel or look like typical PowerPoint presentations.
That's a good thing.
And I'll leave it at that. That's a very good thing.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Death by PowerPoint. Mm-hmm.
Is it as good as Keynote? Well, not being a Power Keynote user, I really can't make that determination. Yeah. But I liked it. It seemed really nice to me. And I would definitely use it for a business presentation. So that's one of the programs that I'm kind of peeking at right now. Mm.
And I just finished using Keynote for my first time I've ever used it for a presentation in a company that I was working in. So I was able...
What'd you think?
I was able to get them to let me hook up my Mac into their projection system and do the presentation. I'll tell you, I like Keynote. I enjoyed using it. I like the way it looks. It looks so much different than probably not the PowerPoint you were just talking about, but the previous versions. It just looks so much better. In fact, I even got some of the feedback forms back said, nice transitions, you know.
Yeah.
You didn't go too crazy, I take it, then.
Stuff like that, you know. So I enjoyed it, and it was easy. I embedded some video clips into it, which was really, really easy to do in Keynote. In PowerPoint, I always have a problem trying to get anything video in there.
Now, how was it hooking your Mac to the projector?
Yeah.
Because if I remember right, you were asking some questions about hooking into that, correct?
I think I was. What I did was I was actually able to get into the training room about 40 minutes early, which was great. And I had one of those connectors that hooks up to the video port on the MacBook.
Yeah, was it just an SVGA out?
Yeah, and it feeds out.
Right.
Exactly. And then they had this cabinet there with all kinds of stuff in it. And I just followed the cables down from the wall, and I pulled out the one I thought I needed and plugged it into the adapter cable. And then I found an audio jack plugged in back there, and I pulled that out, and I just stuck them in the MacBook. I had a little problem with the resolutions at first when I switched over. It kind of whacked out. It was really wonky looking up on the screen there. And I had to restart Keynote. And it kind of adjusted, and it kind of set itself up. And,
wow!
And I had a nice wide wide screen view. It was what was it, like 1780 by, I forget what that wide screen view is.
Do you have a MacBook or a MacBook Pro?
MacBook.
Did you use a remote control to control the slides?
You know, I had a remote with a little dongle that plugs into the USB port, and you can click it. It's a Kensington thing.
Yeah.
And it worked like a charm. It even had a little laser pointer on it too.
Oh, that's cool.
That is cool.
I was going to say, didn't your MacBook, though, it came with that the front row remote control. Yeah. And that will also work with Keynote.
Yeah.
At least that's my understanding.
Yeah, I think it does. I didn't use it because I had this other thing from Kensington, which would allow me to blank out the screen.
Yeah, that's right, Chad. Chad and I used that up at the Apple Store because it was also trying to control my MacBook Pro at the same time. Anytime we would click it, my MacBook Pros would kind of go a little wonky, like, oh, what do you want me to do?
Oh, you want to see a movie.
On a personal level, I will say that one of my relatives, an uncle of mine, I went over to his house last week after we did the podcast last week. I don't remember. He was having some problems, and he had the lampshade G4 iMac.
Right.
And they're smokers. I'm a smoker, but I don't smoke in front of the computer. And I kind of felt sorry for their old iMac sitting there because it's just yellow. It's just horrible looking, and I'm like, oh, my God, it looks so bad. And they're complaining because it's a little bit slow. And I start thinking about, this is a four-year-old computer.
Sure.
And they have all these pictures on there now, and they wanted to somehow back up those photos. I said, well, you know, we could go get you an external hard drive and this, that, and the other. If you were running Leopard, that would be even better, but this is only 800 megahertz G4. It can't run Leopard.
Mm-hmm. Not without some tricks, yeah.
Right. Well, not to mention the fact that they smoked so much in front of this computer that the optical drive no longer works. You put something in there, and it's this sludge. I mean, it just, it will not, the laser is just like, you know how like a laser is supposed to be red? It's more brownish now, so it's not a good thing.
I give up.
The printer gave up the ghost. It just won't print no more. Their digital camera doesn't work anymore. That's the dangers of smoking, children.
Do they actually smoke inside of their electronics?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much. They're chain smokers. They're both very overweight. Very great people. Don't get me wrong. I love them both. But they don't move away from the computer like they should when they smoke. Mm-hmm. So this is a warning to those of you. And I'm a smoker, too. Don't get me wrong. So is somebody else on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's public, so I don't want to say who. It's not Chad. Used to be not Chad. Don't smoke in front of your computer. It's really, really not good for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, their equipment is just, it needed updating badly. So they bought a 20-inch iMac, the brand new one.
Mm-hmm.
They got the lowest model.
Right.
Went over and hooked that up for them yesterday. They were so excited that we went out to the Best Buy. They got a USB hard drive, 320 gig USB and FireWire hard drive for $129.
Yeah.
And that was on sale. It's regular $179.
Yeah.
Nice they got a
MyBook?
Yes, it is in MyBook.
Yeah, I've got that same one. It cost me $149 about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, go figure, right?
Yeah. But that's fine.
They also got a UPC. For those who don't know what that is, that's a battery backup. Now, a battery backup's good not just to have if you lose power, you can continue to work, because let's be honest, that's really not that's not what it's for. It's so you can shut down safely and turn off your computer when you lose power.
Well, and the other thing but most more important is condition the power.
That's exactly what I was getting to. The power here, at least in Battle Creek, Michigan, is really horrible. I mean, it's really, really bad. I have an aunt who's blown through not a few computers. And it's because of the electricity keeps going. It spikes way high. Mm-hmm. And the surge protector doesn't do its job. Most of them are really junk. I don't think half those surge protectors out there that everybody has hooked up to their computers, I really don't think they do anything. I really, really don't. Because she's gone through so many surge protectors after she's had an electrical problem with the computer, and there was nothing wrong with the surge protector. It didn't protect anything.
Mm-hmm.
She went with a battery backup, and so did I. I've got a 385-watt one. I can only plug the iMac and the monitor into it. Anything else that starts screaming at me, it goes, no!
I hate you!
So my uncle bought one of those as well, and he also bought a wireless router. A Netgear, I think.
Oh, that's what I've got, yeah.
No, he's got a Belkin then.
Oh, he's got a Belkin?
Yep. And they got so excited about how fast this is, they turned right around and ordered a MacBook.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So well, now they can both be on the computer at the same time.
Considering they're going from an 800 megahertz G4 to at least a 2.2 gigahertz Intel Core 2 Duo, yeah, you're going to see a little bit of a speed up.
Well, the thing is, they thought they were going to continue to use the old iMac. They'll just set that over on the side, and one of them can use that, and one of them can use the new one. But as soon as they saw how fast the new one is...
It's mine! Mine!
They're not. No one's going to use that old computer. They'll just wait till the other person's off and then use that one.
Right.
That old one will just sit there and collect dust and eventually turn even more yellow, if that's humanly possible. It'll look like cardboard eventually, basically. So they're giving that to their son, who's completely computer illiterate. Hopefully he has a magic eraser. Maybe that'll help. But, you know, they're very happy.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see some people who, you know, they play Pogo on it, they check their email, and they do photos, and that's pretty much it. So, I mean, the iMac is way overpowered for what they need. But it's going to last them 4 years.
Sure.
Were they running 10.4 on the old iMac?
No, they were running 10.3.9.
Okay, when they got their new machine, did you just hook up a FireWire cable and go into target mode to move everything?
Sure did.
Was that an issue with 10.3?
No, worked fine.
Oh, okay.
It sucked all the information right over, no problem. It took a little longer than I thought it would. It took about 25 minutes.
That's not bad.
Well, they had a 30-gig hard drive in that machine. No, an 80-gig hard drive in that old machine. And they had, up to this point, they had used, like, 35 gigs, and most of that was the OS. I mean, I think it pulled over like 5 gigs, but it took like 25 minutes, which is a lot longer than it should have.
Well, there may have been some translation stuff going on.
I think that's exactly what it was. But once we actually got the new iMac fired up, man, it just, it was blazing fast. All their photos were there. Their desktop looked the same. All their, the internet caches were still there, so they didn't have to re-sign into their Pogo games. It just worked, and it was really nice to see it work that flawlessly. I don't think it's worked that flawlessly for me, ever. Yeah. So, for technophobes, for it to work that easily, and they were very concerned about this. And so now my other aunt is rushing out to get an external hard drive, because she bought Leopard, and so she's backing up. So that's one of the nice things about Leopard. With this time machine, we can finally get these relatives who never back up their photos... We could finally get them backing this stuff up.
Well, do any of them have dot Mac?
No. And they wouldn't get any benefit from it anyways.
Well, they just one nice email thing photos is if they had jokes. Any problems, you could actually log in directly to their machine and
Well, they don't need that. All they need is iChat guy. iChat would do that without dot Mac. In fact, I did that last night.
Oh, I did.
I set them up. Yep. If you don't want a dot Mac account, you can go to AOL.com. Click on AIM, Instant Messaging, and sign up for a free account. That account will work in iChat, so you do not have to have .Mac. I did that for them while I was there. I set them up with an iChat name, well, with an AIM name that works in iChat. And then from my house, we were video conferencing back and forth, which they thought was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Of course, they've got the screen wrong, so I'm like getting just the barely a little bit of their head and then the wall behind them. That was great. And I'm like, you need to adjust the screen, and they're just going left and right. No, it's no, never mind, it's fine. But they kept having problems, so I said, okay, I'm going to send something. When you see this, just accept it. And I click, you know, share. I want to share their screen so that I can control their, and it just worked. It was great.
Nice.
And it was fairly quick. I mean, it was pretty fast.
And I didn't know you could share a screen through iChat.
Through iChat, yep. And you do not have to have .Mac to do it. So I'm sure there's a lot of people just like you, guy, that didn't know you can do that. And now you know, go get Leopard. It's really worth it.
And knowing is half the battle.
That's right.
Nope. G.I.
Joe.
No, was that G.I. Okay, Joe or Captain Planet?
No, that was G.I. Joe.
Okay.
If both Chad and I break out into song at the same time, don't question it, guy.
I'm sorry. I'll never do that again.
Just run with it.
Well, till
just run
time.
With it. A couple things going on the Mac web. The first thing is ThinkSecret closes down. They finally reached a legal agreement with Apple. No details.
Nah.
No details.
None.
They just said, you know, it was amicable.
Yeah.
And ThinkSecret will no longer publish. What do you guys think? Let's start with Rich. What do you think, Rich? A Mac website that catered to rumors, really. Some of them was true. That's why they got in trouble.
Yeah, I used
to. It all stems from when they posted information about the Mac Mini 2 weeks before it went live.
Yeah, I used to pop up. I used to. I was popping up to ThinkSecret every now and then to see what they had up there.
Yeah, you won't no more.
No, I guess not. So I'm trying to understand, what did they, Apple was able to successfully shut them down? Is that?
Nope. They sued ThinkSecret, and it's been going on back and forth for a few years here in court.
Right. Yeah.
I remember.
And they came to an agreement where they basically dropped the lawsuit. I would imagine, without knowing any details, I have no insider information, I would imagine that Apple agreed not to sue any longer, to drop the suit, not ask for any real damages. Mm-hmm. And in exchange, Nick DePlume, the owner of ThinkSecret, that's not his real name. Nick is his real name, but DePlume isn't. Stopped publishing.
Yep.
So you think there was any money that changed hands there?
Well, I don't think Nick paid Apple anything.
No, I don't think I don't think Apple paid Nick. I think one of the things that Nick did hold out for is the fact that he did not have to release his sources.
He wasn't going to give anybody up.
Yeah, and Apple decided not to pursue that either, and I think that was part of the deciding factor. Yeah.
And you know,
after a couple of years, does it really matter anymore?
Probably not. But you know, it's a hard situation. I can see both sides. Apple doesn't want this information to leak out ahead of time because it will affect current sales. People say, well, I'm not going to buy this computer. I'll just wait until the next one comes out. Because ThinkSecret's saying that this Mac Mini's coming out. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about getting an iMac, but I'm just going to hold off for the Mac Mini. Well, Apple just lost, maybe $300, $400 worth of a sale because this person held off buying a $1,300 iMac, mm-hmm. and they bought a $599 Mac Mini. Apple didn't make as much money. So I could understand Apple's point of view. By the same token, I think that bloggers and internet journalists should be protected just as much as a print journalist. And we have just as much right to break news stories like this as anybody else. And mm-hmm. we should be protected. With that being said, there's no way Nick DePlume can fight Apple in court financially.
No, of course not.
And so I think that's really probably what it came down to, at least that's my opinion, that he just simply couldn't afford, right or wrong, he couldn't afford to fight Apple. And let's be honest, if Apple came after us and said, you know, you're using mymac.com, well, we want that. We think that should be ours. Now, I'd have a very strong case against them since they've worked with me professionally in the past, not to mention going mm-hmm. to the store and podcasting there with them. But I've owned it since 1995. And it's a commercial venture. Mm-hmm. It'd be pretty hard for them to try to get that from me. They couldn't say I'm some kind of an internet squatter on a domain that they should rightfully own. But if they really wanted to push it, they probably could beat me down financially. I'm going to let this drag out for 5 or 6 years. What that's going to do to me emotionally and financially, mm-hmm. there's just no way.
That's right.
So, but again, I don't have any insider information on what happened with ThinkSecret and the agreement with Apple, but I think it is kind of sad to see an internet website as popular. They were getting 300,000 unique hits a month.
Sure.
He was obviously making money on the site. Mm-hmm. To see that just disappears.
I hate to see any Mac site go down and go away.
But, you know,
there's some that deserve to go away.
Yeah. But there's some that should go away.
Absolutely. But, you know, this always sounds like something where, the corporate guys beat down the little guy. You know, that kind of story.
And it could be, but without knowing details, I'm not going to accuse anybody of, they beat another one down. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they probably will never release the details.
No, it's probably a confidentiality agreement that was signed by both parties.
And it sounds
so. The other big news for me, anyways, as an iPhone user, is an update to GarageBand allows you to export up to 40 seconds of music from GarageBand to iTunes to be used as a ringtone on the iPhone. What do you get? You know, Apple comes out selling these ringtones for,
99 cents.
What was it? 99 cents.
Yeah.
Now I can create my own in GarageBand. And there's nothing to stop anybody from dropping an MP3 music song on there and clapping exactly what you want. You can create your own custom ringtone with any music you want, and you can send it to your iPhone as a ringtone.
I think it's great.
What do you, I, where did this come from?
Do you think Apple's thumbing their nose at the RIA?
Well, if they're doing it on the sly, because there was no big press release about this. Yeah. They just rolled this feature out, didn't say anything about it. There is a technical specifications document up on the Apple website on how to do it,
mm-hmm.
but that's it. Apple just did it. I mean, is this an under-the-radar move on Apple's part to appease? And this doesn't help the majority of iPhone users, which is PC users. They mm-hmm. can't use GarageBand to make their own ringtones, but you can on a Mac.
Sweet.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, don't have an iPhone, so not really sure how I feel about it. I mean, it's nice that if you want to create your own, that you no longer have to, you know, do some creative file juggling to make it work.
I think it's a great. I don't have an iPhone either, and I think it's great, though. I think I wish all of the other ones. I have Verizon, and you can't put anything on that phone.
Those little cheap phones that I never could get. I've never had a phone other than an iPhone that I could actually get a ringtone on.
Yeah, you can't get anything on them. I mean, half of them are locked down. Half of the features are cut down. I think this is a move in the right direction for cell phones in general.
I agree. Russ is trying to call in. You guys want to bring Russ in?
Sure.
Russ, one of the editors at MyMac.com, one of the longest running. Oh, let's see if he's coming in. One of the longest running contributors at MyMac.com. It'll probably mess up my recording, and I'll have to readjust it later, but that's okay. You there, Russ?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Russ, how are you?
I'm doing well. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas Merry to you Christmas. As well. You need to turn up your volume a little bit if you can.
Merry Christmas. And,
good evening.
That sounds a little bit better.
Yay!
Are you shoveling snow?
No.
No?
No.
Didn't get a lot of snow there in the D.C. area?
No, we got almost nothing.
Snow wasn't at all up here.
Had some. Well, I think we had some flakes. Well, there's always flakes around D.C.
Tons
but,
of them.
But, yeah, can't walk a country mile.
We got a few on the podcast, actually.
That's true.
don't talk about yourself that way.
Well, you're not going to get an argument with me on that one.
But
any chance of you coming to the Macworld Expo sometime soon, Russ?
Sure, as soon as I win the lottery.
I'll get right.
Or
on
we
that.
Find a very rich sponsor, right?
I was thinking of asking Guy to sponsor me.
Oh yeah, sure. I'll get right on that. I'm waiting for that lottery win too.
What are you hoping to see released at the expo, Russ? Is there like an Apple product or even something that no one's even thinking of yet that's kind of in the back of your mind you'd like to see Apple do?
Something that's a bit more affordable than $1,500 plus.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
I'm with you there.
Well, that's called an iPhone, isn't it? Go buy an iPhone. What are you complaining about?
You know,
it's only $399.
You know, if the iPhone used different, different companies, you know, not AT&T,
different carriers,
different service providers, I would seriously be looking at one.
But, no, they're all the same. Come on, carriers are carriers.
No, AT&T up here, the coverage is just absolutely terrible. You can't. I had AT&T for years, and I could never connect with anybody.
And it took you years to get rid of it? Come on.
Yeah.
It can't be that bad.
No, I know. Bad. I don't know about Russ, but I know down here in just south of the city, in the neighborhood I live in, the coverage is terrible.
Yeah, but just south of Washington isn't. Do they even own cell phones there?
Oh, everyone owns cell phones in Washington.
For sure.
Actually, they're probably pretty popular there.
At least two on
the
belt.
Disposable ones.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, two on the belt. Disposable. Ones. Go phone.
Isn't the bay south of the city there?
The what?
Chesapeake Bay?
Oh, no, that's up by Baltimore.
Oh.
Don't ask me. I don't know much about geography. It's all the same to me.
No, but AT&T
if I'm not
like
there,
song.
It doesn't exist. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
No,
if I'm not somewhere, to me, it doesn't even exist. It's a pretend place. The Moscone Center doesn't do anything year round until Macworld Expo. That's the only thing that happens at the at the Moscone Center. They're waiting, standing there. The same guard guy is standing there with bated breath, waiting for us to return. Is it time yet? They're not here.
Is Tim Robinson here?
It's the Macworld Center.
Is that Tim? That's right. There's kind of a chubby guy. No, that's not Tim.
Oh, you know that? I don't know if you knew this, that they're not going to be in Moscone North this year.
I understand that they're actually adding a hall.
Well, no, it's just going to be in the south and the west.
Hmm. That's not what I understood. My understanding was that listening to the, iProng Radio, mm-hmm. Paul Kent from IDG was on with Bill Palmer, and they were talking about that, and they expanded to the North Hall this year.
That's what I heard.
That it's actually, there's almost 100 more vendors this year, Guy, than last year. Now, and they're expecting another.
Moscone West is where the keynote was last year, wasn't it?
Oh, dude, I don't know. I don't know. I just know that they opened up something that they haven't used before, and it's going to be even bigger this year. That there's over 100 new vendors that are going to be there this year as opposed to last year. There was 300 and something last year. There's 400 and something this year.
All yeah, I've heard that too.
So, I mean, we've got our work cut out for us covering all these new companies that are going to be sprouting up at the Macworld Expo. And let's be honest, a lot of them is going to be just iPhone and iPod case companies. And we'll mm-hmm. give them their due as well, because our readers and listeners are going to be interested in that as well.
But there was some pretty cool stuff you guys did last year, like who was doing the tablet conversions for MacBooks, I remember.
Yeah, Guy, you did that interview, correct?
Yeah, that was OWC.
Yeah, MacSales.com, and they were working with another company.
Another company that was doing that. I can't remember who did it now.
I'll tell you in a minute.
And that made a lot of big news during the expo, but here a year later, I don't know one person on this planet who actually owns one of those devices.
I think they just started selling them.
Actually, they did. They just started, just in the past couple of weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So you have to buy a MacBook,
right?
Send it to them,
or just. Buy it, and they'll buy it for you.
Pay them $1,500 upcharge.
Yeah, you can buy it from them direct.
Yeah, that would be. It's just way too expensive. And if Apple comes out with their own, like a lot of people are predicting, it's just going to kill that business.
Yeah.
You think we're going to? We already talked about this a little bit, Russ, but I'm doubtful of a Mac portable, flat panel, whatever you want to call it.
A tablet PC.
I'm doubtful.
Tablet Mac.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I've got to agree with you on that one. I don't think Jobs has any interest. They see where their bread is buttered, and they're going to go the same route.
What do you think about, and this goes for everybody, we'll start with Guy. Now we'll start with Chad. A 42-inch cinema display Apple TV.
No.
No? Built-in Mac OS, HD, just like you get at Sam's Club or Walmart or Target, except it has the Mac OS built-in. It's completely wireless, comes with a little wireless keyboard and mouse.
Something that would actually make the Apple TV useful, you're saying?
It'd have Apple TV built in.
No, that's true. No.
No?
I don't see them pushing that part of the consumer market. I mean, I know the Apple TV is a foray, but I still don't see them going that direction.
You know, in a year, it's been a year now since Apple changed their name from Apple Computer Incorporated to Apple Incorporated. Getting more into consumers' product. What have we got?
So they're going to start copying what Dell has been doing for what, a couple of years now.
Well, Dell does
flat panels.
Well, they've had They've had big TVs.
Yeah,
but there's no Windows PC in there. It's just a big TV. And when does Apple ever worry about what another company is doing? If they were worried about that when Gateway had all their Gateway stores, Apple never would have started Apple Retail. And look at the difference. Where's Gateway stores now compared to where Apple stores are?
Well, they shot the cow. I know.
So. Exactly. So. They shot the cow.
Nice.
So, does anybody think there's a market for Apple to get into a television that, or would it be so prohibitively expensive that people would go, I'll just get a Vizio?
Yep.
I think
they're going to go for that ease of use, and Mac still hasn't made the inroads.
No, I agree with you.
I don't think they're going to release a great big screen TV with a built-in Mac. It's the problem is the technology changes so fast that within a year, whatever mini computer you had built into your TV could be potentially out of date. And I think people that spend the kind of money on electronics like that, they're going to have that in mind, and I just don't think it would sell.
People aren't going to upgrade their TV that often.
No. Oh, and it's the Axiotron ModBook.
Yes, that was at Axiotron. Yeah.
And look how much money Apple gets for its own cinema displays. I mean, they're way overpriced. So for the
talked about that just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so for the unit that you're talking about with Apple, I mean, what's that, $50,000? You know, with Apple?
Yeah, probably. It'd be way overpriced. That was kind of my point. That I don't think this is going to happen either. I would definitely want one, but I think I can do without.
A long term review, please.
Yeah, we need that for about 4 years, and we can get you a good review out of that one.
We'll get it right back to you.
So what is Apple missing? What is the one big product that? What do you guys think is going to come out at Macworld? Because, you know, it's not just going to be Steve Jobs coming out and going, "Well, we've sold a billion of this and a billion of that, and thanks, good night."
I mean,
if you look at the software side, you're not going to see new Mac OS, obviously.
No.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to see a new iWorks. That's new. That's you're not going to see a new iLife. That's not new. You're not going to. Could we see a new MacBook? I mean, that might be something that could be refreshed.
Right.
But that's not really new. That's just an upgrade to an existing line.
New form factor for the
tower.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Apple's kind of. I don't think Apple really likes the tower computers. I really don't. They never advertise them.
Nope.
Never. They haven't changed them a darn bit. The way they look since the G5.
Do you remember the Dick Tracy series?
Sure.
Do you remember his wrist radio?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How about the wrist computer?
Well,
how do you control it easily?
Little button.
And plus, Apple's in love with the iPhone, and I don't think they're going to have anything that's going to. I kind of like the concept, Russ. I know where you're going with it, but I don't see Apple doing anything like that. I really don't.
Well, I wasn't looking radio-wise. I was looking computer-wise.
Computerized, yeah. Right. But what can you do on a screen the size of your wrist?
So you make it a little bit bigger than the new
depends
iPods.
Depends what you're watching.
That's true.
You could have a pair of glasses that were wirelessly connected to it that would project something in there, maybe.
I would use it while driving.
Yes, you would. I know.
Trust me, if you haven't been in D.C. to see what people do while they're driving, he could get away with that.
Well, he does get away with it. Yeah.
I think two things that I'm kind of looking for is, besides maybe a updated iPhone, I think we're going to see a smaller iPhone, for iPhone Nano, for lack of a better term. And I also think we're going to get a different form factor for the Apple TV. And I'm hoping, one of the things that the Apple TV was missing was, in my opinion, was an optical drive to just be able to play DVDs or something.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, like the PlayStation 3, at least over HDMI, will actually upconvert a standard DVD to 1080, 720p.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's... It's up converting on the fly, so it's not really true HD, but it does look better than standard DVD. If Apple did something like that with the
Apple TV.
With the Apple TV, which, God, I would hope they would change the name because it's such a bad product name. Do you think that would make it a seller? Do you think people would actually be interested in it at that point?
Well, you know what
Or do you think that everybody who wants an up converting DVD player already has one?
Well, if you throw in the fact that basically your entire digital content collection is going to be available to you, depending on how you have your network set up. Having an Apple TV that has an optical drive that has a built-in hard drive is something that Apple could really really go somewhere with. And then also, the other rumor was that they might be getting into video rentals.
Yeah, that could be something that they could rent videos directly from.
Sure.
That.
Well, isn't the problem with the TV that the resolution is not HD, really isn't HD quality?
No, not even close. It's not even DVD quality.
Right, so the quality of the video stinks, so...
Look at the size of the device. I mean, and that's one of the big problems right there, is Apple has a love affair with this little square container. I mean, they have it in... their AirPort Extreme. They have it in the Mac Mini. They have it in the Apple TV. And, you know, maybe it's time to think different and get away from that. Have something that's big enough for a standard, faster-sized hard drive. Put an optical drive in it. You know, basically, take what you have, make it better, make it...
That blends more with equipment that people have in their living room currently. Right.
And yeah. Don't worry about it if it's not a square.
I agree. If it played DVDs, that would be and had a larger had a good hard drive in it. Then those two things would definitely make it much more appealing, I think.
Sure. I mean, what I'm looking for is something that's going to replace all these various boxes I have, not add to it.
Right.
Now, Russ, you've got that very high speed internet access now, right?
iOS.
Vios, are you interested in something that you can digitally rent movies with? I mean, with the high-speed internet access, and your high-speed internet access is much faster than my high-speed internet access, is digitally downloading movies something that you're interested in, or just not that big of a deal?
Not that big of a deal to me.
No? Is it because of the quality of movies out there right now, or is it just kind of a hassle?
I think it's quality of the movies and what's available.
Well, yeah. Do you go to Blockbuster or Hollywood or any of those places?
Surprisingly, no. I used to. And basically, I've just stopped. And because when something comes out that I really like, I wind up buying it.
Because that's kind of where the rentals off of, say, the Apple TV is going to be going head-to-head with. That and Netflix. So if you... If you're constantly going out to Blockbuster or God knows where and getting your movies, you know, instead you just kind of ring it up and hopefully it'll be a better experience than what you get with Microsoft's solution.
Look, I also can't understand why you would want to buy a movie on iTunes for almost the same price that you could buy the DVD for. And with the DVD, you get all the features, you get the extra stuff. I just can't see the value in that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very cost-effective to me either. Well, that's our show for this week. We do have a John Nemo section coming up, and we also have the cool Mac picks with Sam Levin.
Hey, Sam.
And, Sam, you know, once Sam gets it going on his cool Mac picks, it's just great to listen to because he finds
the coolest crap, I'm telling you.
The coolest crap. That's a good way of putting it.
Sam's cool crap.
It's not crap. It's all high-quality stuff. He has pretty high standards for the stuff that he likes, and it's nice.
First, we're going to jump to John Nemo's interview here. For Rich, Guy, Russ, Chad, I am Tim Robertson, and we're out of here.
Continuing our evaluation of the RO9 handheld portable digital recorder, Eterol Roland being the manufacturer, we have a 6-minute interview conversation that took place in a car while it was moving through traffic, discussing the installation of an AirPort Extreme for audio purposes, followed by a 30-second jalapeno chorus, not to be confused by a slightly more famous version. And the jalapeno chorus has enchiladas, empanadas, guacamole, tostadas, and corn tortillas to celebrate a Southwestern holiday season.
What is it that you're doing now with your audio?
I'm able to stream my music selections from iTunes on my computer into my stereo in another room.
How does it get there?
This apparatus, I'm not really sure the technology behind it, but I can actually, as an example, I could make my own playlist. Say you guys were coming over for paella, and I could put together, some Spanish music and do a playlist, for the dinner party. And I get it all set up on my iTunes, and then there's a certain connection on my receiver. You know, my receiver has a knob for DVD, TV, and the other initials, I don't remember what they are, but it allows me to stream from my computer.
But is there some sort of contraption?
Yeah, it's a wireless thing. There's no long wire. wires that go from room to room.
Is there something that it's you have from to plug into the back of the receiver to get it to pick up the signal from the iTunes?
Right.
And is there a corresponding thing that you have to plug into the back of the computer?
Yes, it's you know, I'm sorry, I don't know much more about it than that, but yes.
What is it called?
And how much it costs or what it's called?
They bought it for us. It was about $150.
Mm-hmm. And who installed it?
John did.
How long did it take him?
5 seconds.
So once we know what it is...
She's got a smart son-in-law.
So once we know what it is, we can recommend it.
What happened really was that at Thanksgiving dinner, I went into my studio and got into iTunes and put on a bunch of Billie Holiday or whatever, something soothing, and for our dinner. And he kind of wondered where this sound was coming from because it wasn't obviously from our, you know, great room. And then he discovered that it was coming from my studio, and that gave him the idea of, you know, they should be able to stream their music collection from their computer.
So what did he do, fling his cranberries in the disposal and run over Apple store?
That's exactly. We met Jackie at the snow night. You guys weren't there, remember?
So he had to wait till Friday.
He had to wait till the next day.
Right. And we spent a lot of time in that Mac store, didn't we,
Jackie? Yes, we did.
It was so fun.
But were there lots of choices, or did he know exactly what to get?
He knew what to get. I wasn't part of all this. Oh. I was only part of the success and the results.
Yeah,
I really didn't know what was going on. They were moving the TV around and this and that, but it only took a few moments.
What were you and Margaret doing in the Apple store on Friday after Thanksgiving, Jackie?
We were trying to figure out how we could pocket one of the iPhones and get away with it. I brought cable cutters, but they didn't work.
John, what is that you're holding?
This is a portable digital recorder.
Wow.
And I can record voice or music or anything. I can record that motorcycle that just went by the car a minute ago.
Margaret, I have a question. I don't know if you can answer it. I'll find out from Apple. Does your television or your stereo or something, does it have to be a newer version of a stereo or a receiver? Or do you think that fairly recent televisions or stereos would have this connection in the back?
I think you're probably right, Jackie, because the remote for our receiver, and our receiver is a fairly new one within the year, you know, it has the sound you determine. I mean, if you're watching a DVD, you click on DVD on the remote.
Mine is that way, too.
And so if you have...
But your TV is new, Jackie.
I know. And it has, you know, because I play my DVDs through my television. I have a feeling if you can play a DVD through your television, if you've got that
audio...
That technology built in, that is where the connection is for the Wirefire piece.
Our TV is 20 years old. But our receiver is less than a year. I was going to call Jay and ask him what that other knob was.
Go on speakerphone so we can hear him.
If I had my iPhone, I could just mail it.
The trouble is you'd be in prison because you would have stolen it from the Apple Store.
I know, that's true.
I'm calling it home now instead of his cell phone.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to look into it because of rewiring through my vents in the house.
Oh.
And I was trying to figure out, and I thought, no, they've got better technology than that, like plug into the...
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
What's the thing that you're using to get the music from Margaret's computer over to your stereo?
They got us Airport Extreme, and we already had an Airport Express.
So the one talks to the other?
We hooked the Wi-Fi up to the Airport Extreme, and then put the Airport Express over by the our amplifier.
But how did it connect to the amplifier?
With an audio cable.
Oh, it's built into the Airport Express.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and then it's really easy then to get those two apparatus talking to each other, and then it's looks like a charm.
Wonderful. Good. Well, thanks for the information.
Okay.
And we're chatting with Sam Levin. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Cool Mac picks, man. I think we played one of them on the podcast a long time ago, and then we just kind of never hook up all the time like we should. What's up with that? We chat on iChat all the time, and we just don't seem to hook up here on the podcast like we should. But
well, you know what? Maybe we'll start after the new year, and maybe every other week, or we'll do a quick one, or maybe even every week we'll do something short and sweet.
That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. So, Cool Mac Picks, your website is at samlevin.com or samlevin.wordpress.com. That's your blog.
That's my blog. You can just go to samlevin.com, and there's a whole area there that says media, and you can look at all the different media things that I'm doing.
Now, Sam, you've always got your pulse on what's cool, what's hot. What's really hot and what's really cool for iPods and iPhones right now?
Oh, man, you know, there's several different things that I find cool. I'm like a case freak. I'm into, you know, how some women are wearing shoes all the time, different shoes. I'm into cases because it's just great. It's based on mood and also what you're into. I'm really into some of the new cases from Spec. Spec is a company that's well known for their iPod cases, and they've come out with a line of iPod Touch cases. The Nano, the new Nano, this supports all the new stuff as well as the iPhone. Now, Spec is known for their durable silicon cases, and one of them is called the Tough Skin.
Yeah, I've got that myself.
You do, okay. And they've come out with a new one for the iPhone. They make one that's clear and one that's black. And I really like it because it protects the iPhone, they make it for the iPod as well. It really protects it, and it's easy to grip, and it's just well made. They've been making these cases for many years, so they understand the design. And so I've been using my clear one for the last 3 days. I got it a few days ago at Spec. I drove down there. They're based out of California, Palo Alto, and they've just done a really cool job. They also came out with a couple different cases for the iPod Touch that are clear, kind of translucent in different colors. They have blue, pink, orange, green. So if you get a chance, check them out at spec.com, specproducts.com. And some of these cases have cool belt clips that turn into stands, particularly for the iPod Touch or iPhone. When you want to watch a video, instead of holding it, you can just click open this stand that is the same as its belt clip and put it on your desk.
That's actually the one that I bought when I first got my iPhone. I got the one that turns into a stand. I thought that was really cool, but I didn't use it as much. The thing is, the iPhone is so cool. I like the clear cases so people can actually see that it is an iPhone I'm using because, you know,
right.
I'm just an attention whore, so.
No, I know. You want to show it up.
That's right.
So check them out. Spec has done a really cool job. I like their stuff. There's a lot of companies that have come out with stuff. One of the really, really nicest leather products on the market is from a company called Vaja. That's V-A-J-A. So it's VajaCases.com. They're based out of Buenos Aires, in Argentina, and their cases are absolutely beautiful. They're expensive, but they are so well made. They're handcrafted cases for the iPod. They make cases for almost every mobile device you could think of, from Motorola phones to smartphones to, you know, phones that are made and distributed over in Europe that aren't even sold here. But their iPod and iPhone cases are beautiful, and they make a whole different line of cases that cover their case and the front, as well as ones that you just slip the iPhone inside of, and you can have full access to the iPhone. They range starting at about $60 or $70 and go all the way up to over $100 for their products, but if you want to buy something for someone that has everything and you have the money, this is the ultimate. They're all leather. I don't think they make anything but leather. Check them out at Vaja Cases. Love their site. Their site is so cool. they've just done some beautiful stuff with Flash, where a lot of companies have used Flash, kind of overused it. These guys just did a wonderful job in using Flash technology to display the numerous products that they have.
Really good photography, too, because I'm looking at it right now, and some of these cases are just gorgeous.
Isn't it beautiful?
And without this website is being done as well as it has been, you really wouldn't get a sense of how great these cases are.
Oh.
If someone said, you're going to want a green case with a white stripe down the middle for your iPhone, I'd say, no, I don't think so. But looking at it on their website, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, you can put together all the combinations, and it shows you what it looks like, front, back. I only wish that they had an area that you could save all this stuff and say, oh, I want to come back to this. I think I want that. That would be really nice to have your own kind of like designer locker room or something like that. But they've done a wonderful job. And for years, I've been buying their stuff for many years. Before I even started Cool Mac Picks 5 years ago, I bought their stuff for my Motorola StarTAC, my Palm PDA, remember the, you know, people are still carrying the Palm, of course. So they support all the new line of those devices, as well as the iPod, iPhone, iPod Touch. I haven't seen the iPod Touch case, so I'm going to give them a jingle. So check them out at Vaha Cases. Now, the other cool thing, you know, that I'm really into is some of the speakers that still support the new products, like the JBL Go Plus Play. That's their boombox that they came out with about a year and a half ago. I don't know if you've seen this.
Yep.
Okay. JBL is known for great audio. I mean, just fantastic. They understand it. They're part of Harman Industries. And Harman, or Harman Kardon, has done a great job for many, many years, over 30 years, in developing AV products. But JBL came out with this product called Go Plus Play, or Go Plus Play. And I got to tell you, for a boombox, this thing rocks the house in every which way. It's portable in that you can put batteries in it, though it becomes kind of heavy because of the C batteries that it requires. But it requires that because the volume that comes out of this is tremendous.
This is the one with the iPod dock on the top, right?
Right.
It kind of lays down.
Right. It's an iPod dock that lays down so you don't view the iPod, and actually you don't need to view the iPod because the remote is a small RF remote that works up to about 100 feet away. It's got also a place inside of the Go Plus Play where it holds the remote. So if you're going to carry the device or you don't want to lose the remote, how many times do you have to go hunt for your remote? But the RF technology makes it fantastic versus IR, which means you have to sit in front of the darn thing, which is crazy. So these guys have figured it out, but the design is cool. It does work with the iPod Touch. It does work with the iPhone, even though when you plug the device in, it'll say this accessory, you press a button to bypass. It's a screen that says, hey, this accessory
isn't supported with the iPhone.
Doesn't support that. That doesn't matter. The fact is it works flawlessly, and the remote works with it as well. You're just not going to view video on these devices, but you weren't going to view video with any of the other iPods on it as well because it's flesh laying down in the device. It's not there for video, though. Well, it does have video out.
Well, I do have the Harman Kardon Drive Plus Play, and the iPhone works great in that as well.
Right. The Drive Plus Play is their car-mounted product, which, by the way, they just came out with Drive Plus Play 2.
Has it come out yet, though? I've been waiting and waiting, and I keep seeing the advertisements for it, but my understanding was it's not out. It's not shipping yet.
I thought it just shipped. But in any event, the Go Plus Play is just wonderful, and I've been using it since they came out with it. I actually like it better than using my stereo because you don't have to worry about turning anything on. You know, it automatically turns off. After like 30 seconds, it'll just turn off the power, and just as if the iPod goes to sleep, and you just hit play on the remote, and immediately it starts up. So it's a cool device. Check it out. It's from JBL. It's $349. You can find it for less at places like Costco. I don't know if you guys have a Sam's Club or stuff like that.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. We they have them at Costco here, and Also, it has video out. It's got audio aux jacks so that if you don't have an iPod, you can plug any other MP3 player, CD player. Doesn't matter if it's got an aux jack, it'll work. So it works with all the other devices. But I think they've done a fantastic job, and I've been using it since day one. So check it out. It's from JBL, called the Go Plus Play, and it works with every iPod that's got a docking station, or excuse me, a 30-pin connector.
And JBL is one of those companies that you know it's going to be a quality product. They've been around a long time. They really know audio.
They know audio, and they've come out with I haven't seen them, but they've come out with Bluetooth headsets that work with the iPod as well. I have not seen them, so it's brand new. They'll be at Macworld Expo. Of course, they'll be at CES, but for Macworld Expo, I'll be there doing some cool Mac picks and interviews with JBL and the staff. So anyway, check them out. Great, great company, great products. What else? Griffin. Our friends at Griffin have come out with some really cool stuff. One of them is actually called the Evolve. And Evolve is a true wireless speaker system. And they're using, you know, I don't know if it's not Bluetooth. It's a Philips technology. And I'm not sure the name of this, but basically it's like RF technology. So you can take these speakers, they're self-powered. You can take two of them, place them anywhere around the house. I think it's about 100 feet from the base. Plug your iPod into the docking station, and the remote is RF, or I don't know if you call it RF, but basically you can walk around the house and use the remote.
And it's awesome looking, too. Yeah, it's a really attractive system.
It's beautiful. It's called the Evolve, and I believe you can only get them at Best Buy. I'm not sure if Apple.com sells them, but it's a beautiful system. You're not going to get huge bass resonance or mid-range because they're wireless, and they you know, speakers draw power. So if you're going to get great bass, you're not going to get that from a small wireless setup. But if you want something in your room or an office and you don't want wires, this is the only system I've seen that works this way.
And you take the speakers and put them on the base station to charge them?
Right. You put them on the base station where that is the docking station for the iPod as well. So the power, the antennas are there. It looks like a phone, like the wireless phones that you buy now. It looks like that. It's not that much bigger.
The the dock itself kind of reminds me of a Mac Pro, the top of the Mac Pro upside down.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
It does. It looks like that. The dock to the left and right or the base has these little pins where they connect underneath the speakers. The speakers are really nice. They're kind of a lacquer finish, black and aluminum. And you just place those on the base. It powers them. And I believe it will last for about 10 hours for the speakers.
Wow.
And then you have to come back and place those back on the base. That's the only gripe, is that you got to bring those back to power them. So I said, hey, guys, you need to come out with an additional adapter that the speakers can just rest on so that you don't have to keep moving them up and back. So that's something I believe that they are going to work on, and I bet they show something like that at Macworld Expo, though they wouldn't tell me.
You know, I think they're going to evolve this product eventually, Sam.
I think so, too. it's cool. I really like it, as I said.
And it does support audio, video out, I see.
It supports, yeah, I guess it does, but, you know, what do you need that for? I mean, most people, they're just listening to their tunes, and they don't want wires. And this is the only one. Now, funny enough, I was talking to you guys about JBL. JBL has a wireless speaker setup. The funny thing is, if you want both speakers to work, one speaker has to be tethered to the other. So it doesn't make sense. So Griffin is really the only ones that I've seen that have done this. And what I'd like to see is a pro version of these speakers, maybe called the Evolve Pro, that are just more robust, offers richer sound. Of course, You just need more power to drive that. So that's where the rub is when it comes to battery technology.
If it's really good speakers, you know, maybe they'll last for a couple hours. But honestly, I think that would probably be a fine trade-off for a lot of audiophiles. You get maybe 2 hours of listening before you have to charge them, but the trade-off is you get audiophile quality speakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the trade-off. But I think they've done a good job. I think it's $300 or so. It's not inexpensive, but it's well made. They did a nice job. I think they need to work on the remote a bit to make it more user friendly and that you can view it. Right now, it's like this brushed stainless, so at night you'll never be able to see it. And so I'd like them to work on that so that you don't even have to look at the remote to use it. So that's my only kind of gripe, but I think the product is well made, beautiful design.
It's gorgeous. I'm looking at it on their website right now, and I kind of want to get one for myself. But I don't think my wife would let me spend any money on goodies for myself right before Christmas.
Yeah, well...
Well, Sam, you get all the cool picks. You find all these great products. If somebody was going to buy you something that you just don't have already, what would that cool thing be for your iPod or your iPhone? I know I'm springing this on you at the last minute, but maybe Santa Claus is listening. You never know.
Well, I tell you, you know what's cool? Some of the voice recorders that are out, well, they all work with the iPod Classic. They work with the Nano. You know, the voice recorders that Belkin, Griffin, Extreme Mac, they all came out with voice recorders over the last several years. The iTalk Pro from Griffin is cool.
I've got that myself. Works
okay.
Great.
It's great, and it's full-on 44 kilohertz. It's or megahertz, is it? Yeah, megahertz. It's full digital quality, so it's fantastic.
Griffin gave some of these away at our Apple podcast, I believe, when we recorded at the Apple store.
Yeah, we had some to give away.
Yeah, they were real popular, too. Everybody wanted those.
So I've used the Griffin. I used the Belkin. I've used Extreme Mac to do recordings and podcasts, and they've done a nice job. So, you know, it depends upon what the person, you know, you ask me what I would like. I like stuff like that I can attach and use. Like, I'm going on a small trip tonight, and I'm going to bring my voice recorder with me so that I can do dictation. If I want to do some podcasts that are just audio, that's fine. Now, the other – I tell you, that's an inexpensive play there. That's like $49, I believe, something like that.
Yep, it's $50.
$59 or $49. Sanyo has come out with a number of different cameras, and they're called Zacti's, X-A-C-T-I, Zacti. If you go to sanyodigital.com, you'll see what I'm talking about. They've got a camera that is underwater. It comes in a few different colors. Mine's like turquoise blue, and I think it's turquoise blue and white. And you can take it 10 feet underwater. It's I don't know if it's called the Zacti underwater, but you'll see it's the only one that is underwater. And what's cool about it is it's underwater, it's SD. That means you record everything on SD. It's 6 megapixel still, and it will do really fine resolution on video. But everything is SD, waterproof, and when you import it into iMovie, It works. It's not AVI. They follow the standard for Apple. I forgot if it's H.264, but basically, or MPEG-4. It imports. You don't have to convert the video. You just stick it in, and you can import it. Because iMovie does not support AVI. So that's a big deal with a lot of cameras. They export to AVI when you're doing video, especially these digital cameras that can do video. Well, these guys, everything they do, or most of their stuff, is complete iMovie, Final Cut Pro compatible. And that's a big deal. It saves you a lot of time if you're doing videos. So they've got that, which is really a cool product, well made. And then they've got their new version of their Zacti HD line. They've got an HD 2, and then they've got a new Zacti that does full 1080i. I think it's the only camera. It's the first camera that does 1080i recording on SD.
Wow, that's so amazing.
There's no film. This is all on SD cards.
And it works underwater. A lot of the
well, the only the camera that I'm talking to you about works underwater. Let me get it. It's
that's the Zacti E1, I think, isn't it? The VPC E1.
Yes, it's the waterproof camera.
Yeah, the waterproof one.
6 megapixels underwater. Yeah,
picture. That's it.
That's going to be pretty nice.
That's it. That's the one that. It's blue. Mine's blue and white, and it's completely not just water. It's fully waterproof. But the HD2 Zacti is a 720 HD camera with a dock, an HDMI dock, and their new version, which is a 1080i. I don't know the model number. If you go up to the site,
yeah, that's an HD1000.
The HD1000, it's unbelievable. I don't own that camera. I would love to have that. So if you're asking me what would I would like to have, it's that camera.
I'm looking at the specs, and it's definitely amazing. And if Santa Claus is listening...
Oh, it's amazing. I don't know what the price is. It's probably grand.
Probably. But, you know, you're getting HD quality in a very small hand.
Yeah.
Right? It's in the palm of your hand. It's amazing how small this is.
Plus, the HD2, they make an HD1. I don't know if they discontinued it. I think so. The HD2 and the HD1000 have HDMI docks. So that you dock it, you plug it in to your HDMI flat panel screen, and now you've got slideshows that you create that are all HD. To me, that's pretty amazing. That's what I would want.
Well, I think they're pretty amazing. I'm thinking about getting one of these myself because those are just amazing. Maybe if... Sam comes over and really pleads the case to my wife, I'll get one.
Yeah, well, go to sanyodigital.com and you'll see what they're doing. You'll see their whole line. They make digital cameras as well, but their video is really – that's, to me, their hallmark. That's what you want to buy is their digital cameras because they do digital stills as well. Plus, the HD2 does 7 megapixel. The resolution is fantastic for digital stills, and it's got mic out support, so you can have external mic. It's probably the most ultimate video podcasting camera made because it does everything.
It's really amazing looking camera. I'm definitely going to have to check one out myself. Sam's picks, all the links to it, check out mymac.com. Go to show 159. The show notes will have links to every product that Sam was talking about today. And Sam, thanks a lot for being on the podcast this week. We'll see you at the Macworld Expo in a couple weeks.
Check out samlevin.com, and I'll link to your show as well.
Have a happy holiday, Sam.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.